Beautiful Sunday morning. We're still in the theme of discipleship, amen, of making disciples out of all nations, working with people, connecting with people, amen, making a difference in somebody's life, because somebody has made a difference within your life, amen. I'm always making a difference in somebody's life, but there's always somebody pouring into my life, amen. So we all got to do our part to be poured into in order to pour into somebody else's life. Amen? And the title of this morning's message is Discipleship Bears Fruit. Discipleship Bears Fruit. It's going to be a very simple message here this morning. Very, very simple message. I'm going to open up with a few verses that I've used already to springboard into this morning's message, amen. I would advise that you take notes, amen. As you're taking notes, I believe it's so much easier for the person of the Holy Spirit to give you thoughts upon the thoughts that you'll be hearing coming from my heart, coming straight from God's Word. And it's just when you got a pen and you're taking notes, it's just so much easier for the Lord to give you a revelation on the revelation being spoken on, amen. It's just that much easier. So discipleship bears fruit. As we go to the book of Proverbs here this morning, chapter 4, verse 23. If you don't have your Bible, all verses will be given on the screen. Next week on the screens, amen? But the clarity and everything is just so much better than the old ones we had, amen? Once again, we're investing into the kingdom of God, taking it to another level. Tim, the sound man, calls it taking a half step. He wanted to take a big step, but he had to be humble, amen, and take a half step. Can you imagine? He calling the pastor being a half stepper. It's a big Bible study that I'm not going to bore you guys with, amen. But for Tim, it's a half step. For me, it's a big step, amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, we're going to continue to speak on the heart and how important the condition of our heart is and how easy our heart is able to do what is right and how easy for it is to go astray and to do what is wrong. Amen? As we open up this morning with verse 23, the Bible says, guard your heart. It don't say, God, guard my heart. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course, the outcome, amen, of your life. We already prayed, so we're going to keep on moving, amen? It determines the course, the outcome of your life, and how you guard your heart. Whether good's going to come forth from your heart or bad's going to come forth from your heart and how you guard your heart determines the course and the outcome of your life. Is your heart important here this morning? Yes, it is. It determines the course, the outcome of your life, who you're going to be, what destination you're going to end up at. My pastor always said, you'd be surprised who you know in church that won't be in heaven. You'll be surprised who you thought wouldn't make it will be in heaven. See, because man has a certain way of cueing in on a person, judging a person. God goes off a totally different standard. His ways and thoughts, the Bible says, are higher than our ways and our thoughts. So because that's the truth, our hearts need to line up with the way the Lord sees things. We cannot continue life, even if we have a job and we're not under addiction and we think, pretty darn good. Amen. I've been clean sober for 20 years. But my question would be here this morning, what is the condition of your heart? Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course, It determines how you're going to walk. It determines the outcome of your life, present and future. Our hearts here this morning are very important. The Bible says, guard your heart above all else. If there's some areas you're going to miss in your life, you can't miss this one. You can't miss not guarding your heart. And we thank the Lord for His grace and mercy, amen, that is able to cut us some slack, some grace, some cushion. For the Bible says that we all fall short. But if you want to be a true end time disciple, becoming a discipler, you're going to have to learn how to guard your heart. You can't believe that you're that end time disciple, that end time discipler, and not guarding your heart. It don't work that way. Because anybody can read the Bible over and over, memorize it, and still have a bad heart. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I want all focused on God's word here this morning. The Lord is bringing direction to your life here this morning. I spoke last Sunday on the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 39. I'm just going to touch on the scripture and bounce to another one, and then get into the word. Amen? But I want to bring these verses out to show how the heart does determine the course, the path of your life. Our hearts here this day are very important. And if not dealt with, they are filthy. Acts 7:39, the Bible says, but our ancestors refused to listen to Moses. That's, to me, disobedience. Amen? God was speaking to Moses, and the Moses was speaking to the people. They rejected him and wanted to return to Egypt. Amen? They rejected him and wanted to return to Egypt. When we're in disobedience to God's will, God's word, your heart has the capability of taking you back to Egypt. Amen? Disobedience has a way of taking a man back, taking a woman back, a youth member back. So it's important here to know this morning that your heart has the ability of taking you back to Egypt. Numbers 14, 24. But my servant Caleb, how many know that Caleb was obedient? But my servant Caleb has a different attitude. You see, when you are obedient, you'll have a different attitude. When you're disobedient, you'll have the same attitude. But the Bible says, but my servant Caleb has a different attitude. He did not only have a different spirit, but he had a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess full share of that land. So here the Bible says that our hearts, I believe there was some more verses, was it up to 25 and 26 that says wholeheartedly he followed? That's the NLT. Both scriptures were the wrong ones. That's why I wasn't hitting right now. I was having an interview. Go to, take your time. I want NIV. NIV. Both speak about the hearts, and I'm not getting no heart action right now. Amen? NLT, New Living Translation. We want NIV. What's all that mean? Let's start from the beginning again. Acts 7:39, NIV. Take your time. Really, we ain't got nothing else to do. There ain't no Green Packer game today. Green Packer. Green Bay Packers. They're a bunch of Green Packers right now. I thought it didn't come out right. And then I want the NIV also for 1424. I was having to intervene there. And okay, little letters, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, we're good. Can you give me a 60 or 70 in font? We've been practicing, amen? This is learning how to work under pressure. And if you can't, just let me know with a nod of your head. Huh? You're grabbing your nose. I need, which one is it? Can you get it to go bigger or not? I tell him, go like this, he went like this. I didn't know what that third sign meant. All right. That was a little commercial, amen? We can't be doing this next weekend, guys. I promise you I will take all of y'all back to the backyard. Kyle, I don't care if you know karate, jitsu, whatever. You don't know a crazy Mexican, amen? I will gut you before we even get to the spot we're supposed to get to, amen? I'm quick, baby. Dad's here to protect him. Dad, you're not, I'll make sure you're not around because you're pretty big like your boy is. Acts 7:39. Amen. The importance of our hearts and what they're able to do within our life. But our ancestors refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him, and in their hearts, there's the word hearts, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. What turned them back to Egypt? Their hearts. And in their hearts, they were headed towards the promised land. And as they were going through the trials and tribulation and all the murmuring and complaint, something took place in their hearts that made them turn back to go back to Egypt, a place of bondage. Egypt has a way of calling one back through the heart. That's why it's important for us to guard our hearts. And in their hearts, turn back to Egypt. Let's go to the next one, please. So here, hold it. So here we come to find out that your hearts, when they're not right and they're in disobedience, the chances are very high for your life going back to Egypt. Amen? And this was with God being with them. This was with God as the leader, moving in the cloud. And they were still missing it, still wanting to go back to Egypt, because something that was taking place in their heart caused them to want to turn back to Egypt. So here we find that your heart has the ability of taking you back to Egypt. If left unattended. Amen? Let's go to Numbers 14:24. Talking about Caleb now. We're going to obedience. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit. I like the other one said, a different attitude. Amen? A different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. How was Caleb following the Lord? Wholeheartedly. Represents obedience and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to. which was, we know, as the promised land when they went to scout it out. Amen? And his descendants will inherit it. So here we come to find out that when you're in obedience, not having it all together, amen, but are willing to do it the Lord's way, we come to find out that our heart not only has the ability to take us the wrong way back to Egypt, but our heart also, in obedience to God's ways and God's will, has the ability of taking us to the promised land that represents fulfilling the call of God within your life, fulfilling the purpose of God within your life. I put here, in other words, our hearts have the ability of taking us the wrong way, and our hearts also have the ability of taking us the right way. We found that out through Scripture, amen? I'm not making it up as I go. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. It's still NLT. Praise the Lord. I'm going to keep moving. I know. I'm going to just go to the Word. It's what happens when the person should have been there. It's not there right now. You know why the person ain't back there this day? Disobedience. This is what happens. Even I was telling a brother this morning, no man's an island to himself. We're connected. The man that should be back there right now knows how to do this with his eyes closed. And here we are. But praise the Lord, devil ain't going to get this one. Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20. Speaking about the sower, I touched lightly on it. I'm just going to read it to make a point here this day. And if there's any way, Mike, you can move along those other scriptures and get them into the NIV, kindly please. And the Bible reads, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them." You will recognize them. In verse 17, the Bible reads, "Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." Amen? I put here our hearts, our life, us being the tree, have the potential. Our hearts not only have the potential of going the right way or going the wrong way, but our hearts also have the potential of bearing good fruit or bearing bad fruit. Amen? There's no such thing of one that bears no fruit. Yes, you can bear bad fruit. Amen? I put here, you can't bear bad fruit and be going the right way. vice versa. You can't bear good fruit. You can't bear good fruit and still be going the wrong way. I need you to listen between the lines right now. Pastor, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know why am I not getting my breakthrough. I would have to say there's a malfunction still within the heart taking place. Because if you can claim that you're doing good and bearing good fruit, you should be going the right way. You should be involved in this church. You should be working your way towards leadership in this church. You should be about somebody, something within this church. If you can claim that you have good fruit, you should be able to claim that you're going the right way. Too many people claiming they're bearing good fruit, amen, but they're still just hearers of the word and not being doers of the word. You can't say that brother, that sister is bearing bad fruit. They're going the wrong way, Pastor. They're bearing bad fruit, but they're doing the right things. It don't go together. The Bible clearly tells us if the tree bears good fruit, amen, if the tree is good, it's going to bear good fruit. If the tree is bad, it's going to bear bad fruit. Amen? Our hearts were placed within our life by God to bear fruit. Our heart is the soil where the word of the Lord goes forth as seed to produce fruit within our lives. To produce fruit within our lives with purpose behind it for somebody else's life. Some of you might say, Pastor, I'm not bearing good fruit, but I'm not really bearing bad fruit. Amen? Just like I'm somewhere in the middle, Pastor. I would call that you're still wandering, amen, in the wilderness. And if you were to tell me that, and next week, guess what, Pastor? I got a breakthrough. I'm bearing good fruit. I'm doing good. I'm doing good back again. I'm doing good, Pastor. Well, praise the Lord. I know that you're doing things the right way and you're going forward. But if you keep saying, well, Pastor, you know, my dad used to always say a saying. I would say, hey, Dad, how you doing? He goes, could be better, could be worse. That's the way we would start our conversation for many years. Could be better, could be worse, son. I just take it the way it is right now. That was the educated words of my dad, a bachelor's degree. Amen. I would have to say that you're in the wilderness. But there's nothing wrong with the wilderness because the wilderness is part of the process of getting to the promised land. It's a road that you must take. But remember that the journey we learned from Egypt to the promised land represented 10 to 13 days. If you tell me you're still stuck 3-4 months later, 2-3 years later, something is wrong within your heart. Something is wrong within your heart. You're not growing. You're still going the wrong way. You just keep coming to church. But it would tell me that you're not guarding your heart of what you're allowing into your life. That's what somebody stuck month after month after month, year after year represents. Somebody wandering in the wilderness, going in circles. I pass that you pass right by the exit that goes to the promised land. You pass by it, and you keep coming to church, and you keep coming to church. And then the Lord says, the exit is right to your left, and you pass it again. Because your heart's in a condition that all you can think about is the turmoil in your heart. The turmoil in your heart that's taking place. Your heart has the power and the potential to go the right way and to bear good fruit. There's no excuses. We're all held responsible to what's taking place within our heart since the day we got saved. You're now held accountable. I'm held accountable. You can't say I'm bearing good fruit and not partaking what's taking place in the church. I know when I was bearing bad fruit, here we go, here we go. Tell your neighbor, here he goes, here he goes. When I was bearing bad fruit for the devil, for darkness, I wasn't just talking about getting high. I was about my business in getting high. Not just on Friday night or Saturday. It started there, but then it became a 24/7. When I was bearing bad fruit, I was partaking in darkness in order to bear that bad fruit. My tree was bearing fruit in abundance. Everybody could see it states away. My brothers and sisters knew that Charlie was all messed up. I had 12, 13 alias names going to court. I bared fruit in abundance that I was going the wrong way. So my revelation to you here this day is, if you can bear fruit in abundance going the wrong way, why can't you bear fruit in abundance going the right way, doing it God's way? A lot of times religion steps in and we think we're okay. We think, hey, I'm not doing drugs no more. We're okay. But in your heart, the Lord's knocking. How do I? That's the only thing I couldn't do with my hand held. I could. He's knocking right now. And he's letting you know exactly where you're at. He's letting you know why you're not bearing fruit. He's letting you know why there ain't change taking place in your heart. There's a void of doing it God's way. You're giving all the time to the workplace, all the time to this, all your time. There's a void in your life for Jesus. There's a void in your life that calls in order to bear good fruit. How did I bear fruit in abundance when I was in darkness? I put 24/7 time into it. I got involved with what the devil was doing. And he was sure to bless me and bearing fruit in abundance. So the Bible says that you'll know a tree by its fruit. Pastor, you judge me. No, I'm just looking at the tree, what it's been producing lately or what it hasn't been producing lately. You guys may not know it, but I keep close inventory on the flock. Whether I talk to you or not, I talk to God and he brings your face to my memory in the time of prayer. Not just to say that you ain't doing your part, but to say that he wants to use you. And that's why he's bringing your life and your face into my remembrance in the time of prayer. There's a work for you to do. There's a fruit to bear. And we ain't got no more time on the clock left going the wrong way, being in church every Sunday. It's a choice. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Good scripture right here. Oh, do I got to go to it? Matthew 12, verse 33. The Bible says, make a tree good. Make a tree good. And its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Ooh, perfect timing on that verse. Pastor, this is just the cards that got dealt to me. My mom and dad were drug addicts, alcoholics, they're divorced. And nope, not good enough. Not good enough. It might have got you off to a bad start, but it don't mean you got to finish bad. Amen? You might have got off to a bad start, but the good work that the Lord has started is going to finish you off strong. This verse says, make a tree good. See that? Make a tree is an action word to me. You got to make it happen. That's one of the models of our ministry. Shut up, get in the van. Things are subject to change. And the third one, Just flow. When my pastor dropped me off here 15 years ago, he said, better you than me. He said, make it happen. I said, you got it. I got this. I didn't know what the alley, the address on the alley I was standing on. I didn't know that the high school right there was called South Center or something like that. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know one Mexican restaurant. I said, I got it, Pastor. I got it. Go to your nice little hotel. I got this. Didn't have a clue, a blues clue in what I was doing. I was standing in my promised land, not knowing one direction, going south, north, east, or west. But I was in obedience. My heart was going the right way. Even though I didn't know much, I was in obedience to the Lord, and I was obedient to my pastor, and little by little, I started knowing which way was north and south, east and west. I started finding the Mexican restaurants where they were at, little by little. I started finding some winos under the bushes, created a rehab, little by little. I was going the right way, going and getting bad fruit. I was bearing good fruit, going and getting bad fruit. When I was the director of the rehab in California, my mom and dad about left me, took me off the family tree that wasn't bearing good fruit. Amen? For me having a wife, 6 months being married, Bianca was 6 months old, going into a rehab, 25, 30 guys, all gang members. That's not too smart. My mom said, mijo, you're doing so good. Why do you want to go hang out? Because she read those books. Who you hang out with is who you are. Amen? Why do you want to go in a house full of drug addicts? You got a baby. For my God's sake, you got a baby. She didn't understand the call of God upon my life. She didn't know that that was my wilderness, amen, my testing grounds, my proving grounds to make it here to my promised land. Even though I didn't know a street, even though I didn't know what I was doing, I was wholeheartedly in obedience. Sometimes we think we got to know the whole layout before we move for God. That would not be faith. That would not need God. And sometimes we act like we don't need God in our lives, that we're going the right way. You need God. I need God. 20 years later, we all need God. Without Him, the Bible says we are nothing. Here, Matthew 12:33, it's a make it happen verse. It's a respond to the gospel verse. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. That's good news, but you got to do something. Above all else, guard your heart. You got to do something. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. God is giving you a promise right now. Or He says, stay the same, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. When I really don't know what's taking place inside one's life, I look for fruit in what type they're bearing. Only God knows what's going on in my heart, yeah, but He's saying one way we can get them false teachers and prophets is by what fruit are the fruit is something that's able to be seen. See, when an orange tree is not yet in blossom, blossom says there's a fruit to come. There's an orange right around the corner. But when the flower ain't there, the blossom ain't there, and the orange, and it's out of season for oranges, amen? It's kind of hard to look at a bare tree and say it's going to produce fruit. Each and every one of our lives have a heart that has been called by God to produce fruit. And the Bible says that you will be recognized by it. That you will be recognized. That's a heavy one. That's a heavy one there. That you will be recognized by your fruit. People always talking in the church, Pastor. What are you giving them to talk about? The good fruit you bear or the bad fruit? Stop pointing fingers and make it happen. You're held responsible. Whether you're going to be a tree that bears good fruit or bad fruit. I wasn't going to share this, but the Lord is here. Last night I had a dream. Oh my God. It was a dopamine dream to the 10th power. There was a time one of the hot spots in California was Santa Cruz. And there was all these Mexican border brothers from Mexico, de Puebla. They would come from Puebla. And they would just, they were like seasonal workers slinging dope. They were money makers. Uneducated, but they would have sacks of heroin and cocaine. Back then it was just powder. Crack wasn't even out around yet. You would have to cook it in a little spoon and do all this little weird stuff. Amen? But these guys would go out on the street in the early morning, amen, open up shop for a couple of hours and leave with stacks of money. I would go because I was Hispanic. I was from Texas. I would do anything. So I would get into these big dope houses, and they would have shoe boxes full of money. Their biggest problem was not slinging the dope, was getting the money back to Mexico. Can you imagine? And I had a dream that I was walking the street. I was in Santa Cruz, man, but I knew I was a Christian. And I was like shaking all their hands. Hey, what's up, homeboy? And they were giving me dope. And I was like, man, what the heck? I'm not even asking. You wouldn't give it to me. You're giving it to me now. And one of them gave me money because he didn't have no heroin. He knew I liked heroin. So he gave me money to go score heroin off another dealer. And before you know it, I looked like a drug dealer. I had a lot of coke with me. I had money with me. And I was just meeting these guys. They had just come in from Mexico, Puebla, to start doing for a season. They shoot all the money back to Mexico, then they go back. Some come to Salinas, where I got sent out, to pick strawberries and lettuce. Some come to sling dope. And I remember not knowing which road to go back to my hotel room. And because, man, I was going to get a high, man. And boom, I thanked the Lord for the 5 a.m. wake-up alarm, man. It rang, and I was like, thank you, Jesus. I had to stay in bed for at least 15 minutes. I said, I'd rather be late to prayer than go to prayer, because it was real, man. It was like the cuckoo was all over. I was like 5 years old and had just seen a monster, and that monster was living and alive in the house somewhere, lurking and hiding from me. And I had gone to just the feelings of going and doing dope, and man, I was scared out of my wits. I say, how do guys go back and actually do it? And I was there for 15 minutes in my bed. God, cleanse me. Wash me, my heart, my heart, my heart, my heart, my heart. I said, I'm innocent. I wasn't thinking about dope before I went to sleep. I wasn't looking at drug war TV and all this stuff. And man, I woke up so scared, saying, oh my God. I didn't even want the thoughts. I didn't even want it in my heart. I was guarding my heart. I said, God, you got to get this out, man. You got to get this out. I know it was a dream, man, but it's on me right now. And it was not like I was being tempted to go use drugs. I just didn't like the thoughts and the drugs and the memories of the past and how it was stirring my life in my sleep. So I asked the Lord, I'm the pastor, remember? I'm not the guy that goes to church whenever I have time to. I'm the pastor. I can't go with this on me. Man, I get in the shower. Man, I'm trying to shake shout out, blah, 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 doing tongues and doing that. Yeah, nah, nah, nah. It's still on me. Man, God, I have my shoes. I have my sock. I go into my office. Amen. My dog's there. My dog just looked at me and was still asleep and everything. I was like, don't you care? He's not a working dog. A working dog knows when you're going through, and he'll come to you and want to snap you out of it. That's why those soldiers that come all messed up out of the bombs. What do you call that? When you, huh? POCD. I had POCD, man, to the 10th level, and my dog just looked at me and went like this, man. We stayed asleep. I said, you ain't no work dog. PSD, whatever it is, man. Whatever. I was tweaking bad. I was tweaking bad of just the memory being in me, all the faces of the guys. This is over 20 years ago. Every last one, I was telling them what's up by name. And they were all being nice, and they gave me dope and money. And then I was like, God, man, they hooked me up. Okay, how can I get to my hotel because I'm a Christian without getting spotted or busted by the cops? And right as I was strategizing the how to get from the hotspot to the hotel, boom, my alarm went off. Thank you, Jesus. Was it a dream? No, it was an attack of the enemy. Because if you had a pastor that does not guard his heart, I would have just shrugged it off. Like, I'm just having a bad dream. Heck no, it wasn't just a bad dream. It was the enemy attacking in my sleep. I didn't shrug it off as a bad dream. It was real. It was taking place in this. Nothing can move me that strong. Not even the boogeyman can move me that strong. It was real. It was spiritual. And if the enemy's able to do that to me after 20 years and walking like Caleb wholeheartedly, how much more are you free game for the work of the enemy? Sometimes you think you're doing good because the enemy's not attacking. He don't have to. You're already going his way. He has no reason to guide you, no reason to make you step into a hole, a pit, because you're already flowing in obedience. So he leaves you alone. He steps back. Oh, Pastor, everything going real good? Everything real good? Oh, really? Oh, really? You passed me up. I thought Pastor Jamie gave a spiritual warfare last college course. Was that just a study he gave for 8 weeks? Or is it something real? Is guarding your heart just a message I'm giving this day? Or is it something real and red from the very heart of Jesus? Some of you are saying, man, I wish that would have been me getting all that cocaine. I would have gone back to sleep. Because when I was a sick puppy in prison and I got busted and I was in the county jail, I would have these nightmares for years. And every last one, I try to get back into my sleep to get that fixed. I had to get back. Instead of staying awake from the boogeyman, I went back to sleep. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. It was like when you're falling. Something would, I would wake up and I'll try my best to get back to sleep. Because I really thought I was so sick that I could get high in my sleep. Let's get back to the message. That was for somebody. I didn't shrug it off as a dream. The Bible says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. I put here each one of us, my glasses are fogged up, all kinds of stuff taking place up here now. Praise the Lord. I was going to try to do it without them, but I need some defrost. I'm going to have to give me a little defroster here. Each one of us has a responsible. Are responsible for the choices that we make. I'm so surprised how people at the end of the day, when they mess up, they blame it on the pastor. My God. I was in Santa Cruz last night in my sleep. Man, it had nothing to do with where you were at. I was scoring. You were doing this in Milwaukee last night. These guys are literally steaming up. Can you imagine? That's the first time that's happened. Ooh, it's the anointing. We're going to have a good altar call. My glasses are fogging up. It's never happened before. Each one of us are responsible for the choices we make that in return will bear good fruit or bad fruit. Your heart has the power to produce good fruit, but you need to make it happen. You need not only to be in position here this day, but get involved. Plenty of studies I put here have proven this. Businesses know that advertisement works. That's why they spend billions of dollars, I put here, each year to convince us to buy their product. Amen? To buy their product. We're on Facebook to produce, to put the, what's coming up this weekend, right? We advertise. We have flyers. Why? We're trying to guide people. We're trying to get people to buy into what we're doing. I said, if you expose yourself to the world, more than likely, you will buy into it. Romans 12:2. You got it all taken care of? Check out my guy, amen? There's always another guy to fill in the shoes, amen? The Bible says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Too many trying to preach and teach on God's will, and you're going the wrong way. Look what it says. His good. That sounds to me like good fruit. Amen? His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I said you can expose yourself to the things of God. And more than likely, you will buy into them. Proverbs 23:23 reads, one of my pastor's scriptures, buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. Buy the truth and do not sell it. You know what happens when you sell the truth? You buy into a lie. Buy the truth and do not sell it. You know what happens when you sell the truth? The Bible says that the Word was God and God was the Word. When you sell the truth, you're selling Jesus. You're like trading Jesus in for the devil. Buy the truth. How are you able to buy the truth, amen? For starters, you got to be a faithful giver. You got to buy into the vision, buy into God's plan for your life. Too many trying to bear good fruit without sowing no seed. And you wonder why you're still in the same position 2, 3, 4 years later. Ask yourself, this one you can answer. You don't even need the Holy Ghost to help you on this one. Am I a tither in the church or not? Do I give to United We Can or not? Ask yourself, what is the answer? That could be a blues clue for you this day. In your heart being able to guide you in going the right way. In your heart being able to get to a place in producing good soil that it may be able to produce a harvest of 30, 60, and 100 fold. Too many wanting to produce good fruit, and that's why you're here this day, but you don't sow no seed. It's quiet. Anytime you talk on tithing, my Lord, could do this out in the yard and it would get that quiet out in the yard. We'd go outdoors right now, the birds would stop singing, cars would stop going by. It's just like, talking about me. You're not talking about me. I didn't hear you. It's not me you're not hearing, it's the Lord you're not hearing. The one that has called your heart to bear fruit in abundance. Are you a giver? How can you expect to bear fruit without sowing seed? That's like a magic trick. That's found somewhere else, amen? That's Houdini stuff, amen? But the devil got a lot of those tricks. He goes, come on, come with me. I'll hook you up, man. Yeah, he might give you a front. He might give you the first one for free. But then he'll double up on you, double up on your life, marriage, children. It's good stuff, amen? If If you sell the truth, you buy into a lie. Question, how do you value the worth of your life this morning? How do you value the worth of your life? I want lights off, and I want everybody, no talking, because the video is going to be, it's a small video. I pulled this off Facebook. So Facebook has some good in it. Amen? I want everybody listening as they turn it on. What? How do you value your life? What price tag do you put on your life?
One day, a young boy asked his father, what is the value of his life? Instead of answering, the father told his son to take this rock and go sell it at a market. If anybody asks the price, raise two fingers and don't say anything. The boy then went to the market, and a woman asked, how much is this rock? I want to put it in my garden. The boy didn't say anything and raised up two fingers. And the woman said, $2? I'll take it. And the boy went home and told his father, a woman wants to buy this rock for $2. The father then said, son, I want you to take this rock to a museum. If anybody wants to buy it, don't say a word and just put up two fingers. The boy then went to the museum, and a man wanted to buy the rock. The boy didn't say a word and just put up two fingers. And the man said, $200, I'll take it. The boy was shocked and went running home and told his father, a man wants to buy this rock for $200. His father then said, son, the last place I want you to take this rock is to a precious stone store. Show it to the owner and don't say a word. And if he asks the price, just put up two fingers. The son then went to a precious stone store. He showed the rock to the owner. Where did you find this stone? It is one of the most rarest stones in the world. I must have it. How much would you sell it for? The boy put up two fingers, and the man said, I'll take it for $200,000. The boy, not knowing what to say, ran home to his father. Father, there's a man that wants to buy this stone for $200,000. His father then said, son, do you know the value of your life now? You see, it doesn't matter where you come from, where you're born, the color of your skin, or how much money you were born into. It matters where you decide to place yourself, the people you surround yourself with, and how you choose to carry yourself. You may have lived your whole life thinking that you were a $2 stone. You may have lived your whole life surrounded by people that saw your worth for only $2. But everybody has a diamond inside them. And we can choose to surround ourselves with people that see our value and see the diamond inside of us. We can choose to put ourselves in a market or put ourselves in a precious stone store. And you can also choose to see the value in other people. You can help other people see the diamond inside of them. Choose the people you surround yourself wisely. And that can make all the difference in your life. I love you all, and I wish you all the best. My name is Sean Uranahiran. Will you have?
I know my worth today, and I'm priceless, and that's why the enemy can't stop me. See, when you think you're worth $2, it ain't worth much. Grew up in the hood, grew up without a mom and dad. It's real easy just to look at ourselves like 10 of the 12 spies that went into the promised land. They seen themselves as grasshoppers compared to the giants. Is the fruit I put here, you're producing, come from God's word? Because the tree is able to bear good fruit and bad fruit. Is the fruit you're producing an outcome of God's word, God's seed that has fallen on good ground? Or is it simply you're bearing fruit simply because of your job? Another famous quote of Pastor Herb. He would say, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's going to work. They make good money at their job. And that's why they got a nice car. They got nice this, nice that, nice. There's no Jesus in it. I said, producing fruit comes with seed. I don't care what the fruit is. There's seed in it. You need to know when your life is producing fruit, whether it's bad fruit or good fruit. You need to know that the fruit that you have, that you're bearing, comes with seed. My question is, what have you been sowing? Good or bad seed? You'll know a tree by its fruit. You may say, Pastor, I'm a real nice person. I don't sow bad seed. I'm a real good person. I got a great job, got a nice car, I'm married, I got kids. That don't mean you're bearing kingdom fruit. It means you got a job. I know a lot of people that are mean dope dealers or gang members that are super nice. They're actually nice people. They play it off real good. They're nice. The Bible don't speak on being nice going to heaven. It didn't say in today's message that you can be nice and bear good fruit. It speaks of two fruits, good fruit and bad fruit. John 15:8 says, this is my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. See, this is the bearing of much fruit by doing God's will. When we're doing God's will, our lives will show that we are disciples that belong to the Lord, not to a boss, not to a business, but that our blessings and our life and our heart belong to our Savior. I can't go crooked. Even in my sleep, I can't go crooked. Because I need God right now for your lives. I need God for this city. I need God. I can't do nothing crooked. I can't do nothing crooked. Some of you got some stuff negative to say about me this morning. That's good. Get in line. Take a ticket. Because there's a lot of them. But how many of you are saying, I'm going to back you up, Pastor? You've shown in 15 years that you've grown. You've shown that we can trust you. And in the hardest of times, instead of looking to spread bad seed, remember, we all bear fruit, whether it's good or bad, and all fruit comes with seed in it. Question, are you surrounding yourself with things and the people of God? And most importantly, surrounding and spending time with God Himself. Because that's going to determine your worth. That's going to determine your worth. I'm priceless. Even though I got nothing in the bank, I can still say that, and it's the truth. I got no money, but my life is priceless. Because I'm fruit of what took place at the cross. The Bible says unless a seed dies, it remains one seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds, which represents fruit in abundance. The problem is nobody wants to die here this day to self. They'll rather respect their boss to the 10th power than respect their pastor. John 4:6. The Bible reads, John 4:6. That's not the one, son. Oh, I hope I am not wrong. Yep, you're right. I'm wrong, but good thing I can quote this one. The Bible says, the one I wanted to have was that the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. What verse is that? That the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. It's okay. Just take your seat. That the Lord is the way, the truth, 14:6. I put 4:6. 14:6. I know it with my heart, but there's people that are here for the first time listening to God's word. God's doing something in their heart. John 14:6 says that God is the way, the truth, and the life, and that there's no other way to the Father but through Jesus. Amen? The Bible reads that He is the way. Remember I opened up that you can be going the way of back to Egypt or the way to the promised land? Amen? I spoke about if you want to go the right way, there needs to be an obedience doing it God's way if you want to go the right way. And going the right way is found only in Jesus. Your boss cannot take you the right way. If you cross him up, he'll fire you. Don't care how long you've worked there. See, you want to go the right way? Your heart's got to be in Jesus. The Bible goes on to say that he's the way, the truth. I spoke on this morning that don't sell the truth. Don't be a sellout. Because you got mad with the pastor. Don't be a sellout because a brother or sister got mad with you in the church. I spoke on the truth. The Bible says that the truth is able to set the captive free. It's able to set your heart free. It's the truth. God is the way, the truth. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and he finished off by saying, and the life. The life, I go to opening scripture, Proverbs 4:23. The Bible says Jesus answered, Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart. Why? It goes on to say, for it is the wellspring of life. Of life. You want to know the way? You want to be going the right way? It's found in Jesus. You want to go the right way? You want to bear fruit? It comes in the truth. You can't be in lies and bearing good fruit. You can't be lying all the time and thinking you're going to bear good fruit because you came to church this morning. You got to make your tree good. You got to make your life good in Jesus. You got to put into your heart if you want your heart to put out good fruit. The Lord is the wellspring, the life. Your life comes from your heart. And if you leave it unattended, you'll be going the wrong way, living a lie, and living an untrue life. that the world is able to offer. But if you want to know the way, the truth, and the life, it's only found in Jesus. And the Bible says that it's able to get you to the Father. As worship team comes up here this morning, are you concerned how people look upon your life and the worth of your life? I want to let you know that you could have been a loser all of your life and change it around this morning. How do you value your life? Do you value it by the outcome and the way you were brought up? How do you value your life? Are you always valuing your life looking back in the past when you were young? Do you value your life always in thoughts of Egypt when you were lost and bound? And the enemy always got you caught up in your past. See, if you're always caught up in your past, you'll find it very hard to put a correct value on your life. See, the wilderness is just part of the process, not a place to camp out and live. The wilderness we all need to cleanse and wash our heart. I don't know about you, but if I'm all in, I want to know the way, the truth, and the life. I want what I got coming to me. And the Bible says that Caleb's wholeheartedly attention to the Lord was also going to be given to his descendants. My children matter a lot to me. Even though I may not be the greatest father and spending all this time with them, they know where to find me. It's in my office. They know where to find me. They know where I'm at. And they can all testify, even a little 7-year-old, that I know the one that is able to bring a correct way, the truth, and the life. My little Elias at 7 years old, Dad, you got to pray for me. I come and pray for him every night in his bed. And he gets his blanket and he does the roll, and he's like ready for it. Some of you might play music, read stories. I don't do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But man, it was just something I did in the beginning. My dad would always give me a big sloppy kiss, whether it was at midnight, 2 in the morning, sloppy drunk off his butt. He would give me a big sloppy kiss and enter my room every night, kiss me and say, "Son, I love you." And he meant it. He meant it. He meant what he was saying, but he wasn't living it. He couldn't model what he was saying. So I said, but my dad, through doing all that, I pulled what was good from that. That's why I tell everybody, I love you over, and I give kisses to everybody. Some husbands look at me, "What are you doing kissing my wife?" And I say over and over, "I love you, I love you." I got that from my dad. That would give me that kiss without missing a beat every night for all the years that I lived under his roof. And he would say, "I love you, son," and go staggering out the room to make it to his bed, to get in fights with my mom or whatever it was. I pulled what was good from my past, because my mom and dad were great people. They were just in religion. Their whole life they were in religion. At the end, they found Jesus. Asked me, "Pastor, how did they find Jesus?" By a full-blown ex-heroin addict, they found Jesus. And even though they didn't have that inner relationship with the Lord, they were able to see the fruit that my life was buried. that convinced them that Jesus was at work in my life. There was hands down proof to my educated father and mother that God was real and that he was alive. My shoulder just wants to come out right now for I don't know what reason. Amen. When I pray for Elias, the anointing comes upon my life every time. I used to just do it just because it was the right thing to do, to finish off the night, to say I love, to tell my little boy I love him, just like my dad would say it. But as I would do it, the Lord would come upon me. And what was the bigger mind blower was that he was feeling the anointing come upon him. Then he would start going like this. He'll get quiet. I mean, I could walk out of his room, go use the bathroom 2 minutes later, and he's sound asleep. Sound asleep. There's nothing better than having holy hands. Not perfect. But to know that God is using my hands that at one time were used for addiction, used for this and bearing bad fruit in abundance. My boy, now tell him, you felt that one, huh? You felt that one, huh? And I didn't say it like sarcastic or nothing. And he would go. Then he goes, kiss me, Dad. Tell me you love me. Now we're getting to a place where I got to hug him 3 times and kiss him 3 times. It's growing and growing. I says, God, can you please keep him like this his whole life? And not make him so cool where Daddy can't give him a kiss. Tell him that he loves him in front of people. What's your worth here this day? How do you value your life? I thank the Lord that I am saved. I thank the Lord that I am saved.